Podcast. I'm your host, Chase Tobin, aka Tobinator the Motivator. The Three Pillars Podcast is that podcast that focuses on those three pillars of fitness: spiritual, physical, and mental fitness, to help us grow closer to the Lord on this journey that we call life. Guys, today we have a very exciting episode. I'm going to be welcoming back Mr. Nathan Norman, a good brother in Christ of mine. He's been on a podcast before, I believe it was episode 85, Strength, Spirituality, and Friendship is the name of that episode. So if you guys want to go check that out before Nate. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you to have me, man. Glad to be here. Dude, I think yours might have been the first podcast that I was on this Twitter journey. You know, it might have been a year and a half, 2 years ago. And we've stayed in contact since then, dude, and found that kindred connection, man. And so I just want to say thank you, man. You know, back in the day, that was it's always good to hop on a podcast and learn the ropes, right? And you gave me that opportunity. I appreciate you, brother. Much love, man.
Man, I appreciate the being a launch pad. I appreciate all that you do, all the motivation that you do. It's awesome to see you take off there on Twitter. I've seen you start posting on Instagram more. I'm going to drop all that information down in the description box so people can find you. Before we really get started, just a quick introduction for guys who haven't listened to that episode, who aren't familiar with who you are. Nate is he's a coach. He's a family fitness and devout Christian coach. He's got a book I would show you guys, but the camera's not cooperating with me, but it's called Press On. It's 100 devotionals equipping men. He's got it on his site there. If you're looking at it on YouTube or Rumble or wherever we're watching this, he and two other gentlemen, Travis Price and Matt Porth, put together a devotional. It's fantastic. Kind of his backstory. I'll let you get into it more. You can elaborate, but you went from having kind of no energy, no purpose, kind of overweight and depressed, to finding your way out of that slump, back out of the rut, and getting back into a routine. And now you're a coach. You're helping other men be the best they possibly could be. So I'll turn it over to you. So I'll stop running my sock. You know, tell us a little about yourself and where people can find you, sir.
Yeah, dude. So you kind of encapsulated it all, man. You know, about the devotion, man. Matt and Travis, dude. I love those guys to death. And that brainchild, that book, that was something that, you know, you have something in the back of your head that you want to do, and you're like, I'll get around to it. And finally, we just said, let's just do it. And it just went, and God's blessed it, dude. And every now and again, I'll get a tweet or a message or an email from somebody who said, hey, I bought the book. I'm in New Mexico, or I'm in California, or I'm in Washington. I really appreciate this. You know, number 64 really helped me out a ton. And I'm like, man, that's awesome. This is for the kingdom. You know, we don't make money off this stuff. We make like a tiny portion of it, but it's such a blessing to have the kingdom being dispersed and God's light being spread. So that's a huge thing, man. And thank you for plugging that. Yeah, dude, I spend a lot of time as the gray man, just out of shape, not worried about fitness or motivation or finding that mission point in life. And finally, I had enough and started moving in the direction of progress and moving in the direction of purpose, and everything changed. And now I feel, as you know, that one of the greatest things we can do as men who have found a way is to show others the map, right? And say, hey, I've been down some of these roads.
Absolutely.
I've walked these dead ends and there's nothing there. And I can tell you that if you walk on a different path, you're going to find hope, you're going to find peace, and you're going to find purpose. And that is the mission, my brother.
Man, that's awesome. I can't tell you. You know, you've listened to podcasts and you've given me constructive criticism on mine, and I appreciate it. You know, part of what I've tried to do is emulate your positivity, your model, but I don't think it's a model that you have created. It's one that the Lord's created, and it's kind of our innate natural calling to get in there and to really, as Jesus is our good shepherd, it's our job to shepherd other men who are lost and try to help them bring back, because that's the Holy Spirit just working through us to speak to somebody in a language that they can understand and get them back on a path. So that's, you know, kudos to you and all you do with that, sir.
Give it away, bro. Ain't nothing we got. We built ourselves, right? It's all a gift from God. We give it away.
Absolutely.
Dude.
Absolutely, man. It's great to have you back. We're going to get into it here in just a little bit. I've got a couple of topics we're going to hit. You've been, just listen, guys, if you guys are on Twitter at all, make sure you follow Nate Norman. It's @_NateNorman on Twitter. Look him up. He just puts out fire and motivation all day long. Not that he spends all his day on Twitter, but there's a lot of good stuff over there. Every time I log in, it's probably because I follow you. It's the first thing I see is something that you post, and it's awesome, you know, every time I see it. So get over there and get onto that. You've also got another program called SRX 90. That's new. Tell me about it. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah. So SRX is these steps and these tenets and these pillars that I believe shape a man to be who he's supposed to be. So every time I get a new client, Chase, I start with this concept of who do you want to be, right? What type of man do you want to be? What type of father do you want to be? What type of husband? What type of contributor to society? And so out of this came this idea that there are actually practical steps and disciplines that that type of man would do. For example, let's take fitness. If you say, I want to be a man who's physically fit, okay, what are the daily steps that accompany that goal? I want to be a man that has a great marriage, all right? What are the physical steps or the daily steps, like brushing your teeth, that would make you be this type of husband? And so basically, for every goal that we have and every goal that we set, there's an accompany discipline or practice or daily step that we would take. So I wrote 12 daily disciplines that a man on fire should do. And this is something that we do for 90 days. It's called SRX 90. It's a 90-day challenge. And I like to call it 75 Hard's older brother. And because there's just a little bit past 75. And we know that 60 days creates a habit. And so that point from 60 to 90 is where you really forge the discipline to maintain that new habit. So within the SRX 90 program, there's 12 things that I ask these guys to do. Number one, I ask them to rise early. A man ought to get up early before his family to sharpen his body, mind, and spirit, right? There is no substitute for that number one discipline, man. Number two, I suggest that these men spend an hour with God in prayer, in Bible reading, and just connecting with the Lord, right? That spiritual compass point is the greatest direction a man can put on his life. There is no other mission outside of that mission. Stand up that pillar, and all the other pillars will benefit downstream. Number three, I ask them to journal gratitude every single day, something you're thankful for, something you're expressing gratitude to God for. Number four, drink a gallon of water. Number five, exercise 45 minutes a day. Number six, a lot of people don't like this one, but I ask them to do one difficult thing a day, one hard thing a day. And for us, I choose ice baths or cold exposure every single day, forge the discipline of doing difficulty, and we do it through cold water every single day. I ask these guys to, for 90 days, to follow a meal plan, not eat junk, don't eat crap, you know, stuff that's just going to make you fat. So follow a meal plan. This is another one. Number eight, one that, you know, some people are like, why is this in here? I'll tell you why. Number eight is give an encouragement away a day, right? One encouragement, text somebody, pray for somebody, see them on the street, fist bump them in the gym, be the blessing to the world. And that's back to what we just said just a minute ago, that God didn't give us these gifts to hide them under a basket and not give them away. We're supposed to be the blessing to the world, right? And so number nine, no pornography or masturbation. Number 10, no alcohol for the duration of the 90 days. 11, radio silence, which is just the time, a certain sect of time a day where you set your phone, email, computer to the side, no doom scrolling, no Netflix binging. You're intentional with your family. You're locked in for a certain snippet of the day. And the last one is to walk a minimum of 7K steps a day. When men do this for 90 days, I really do believe their habits change and their life changes. It's awesome to see.
Man, that's literally a formula for success if you think about it. And, you know, people will call that hard. People will call that difficult. Oh, it's challenging. But if you really look at it, that's normal. 30, 40, 50 years ago, that was normal behavior for a lot of men. So I think I know you're on the right path to bring in masculinity back, bringing a strong sense of manhood, sense of leadership, because that's what it takes to be a leader. If like you, some of the things you said, just doing something difficult today, how many times do people do things that are just because it's easy, right? They don't know what it's like to actually do something difficult. And all these steps, all these regimen, all these things have almost like a subcomponent. They did that to us in the Marine Corps. They would break us down to our kind of lowest point and then rebuild us back step by step by step. And if we did the same thing over and over again, you become this, you know, 13 weeks later, you become this perfect specimen of a warrior, right? That's what I can see. That's what you're doing. I love it. Definitely send me the links and everything like that to SRX 90. I want to share that to as many people as possible. that's a solid program to follow. I think I'm gonna have to jump on it too, just to mentally, I could check off all those boxes. I do about probably 8 of those already. So, fantastic work, sir. Keep crushing that. That's awesome, man.
Dude, I'd love to have you, man. I really would. We start June 1st for the next round, and that'll carry us through July 4th and some holidays we have in September. And some guys are like, dude, you know, I want to have a beer for July 4th, or drink some beers for the Memorial Day or Labor Day or whatever. And that's the thing, dude. They call it a challenge for a reason. It's a challenge, right? And to set some of those things aside, it might be difficult, but it also is rewarding, right? It's 100%. Also a reward.
Because a lot of that stuff, if you eliminate, you know, about 3 things you just said, follow a diet plan, stop drinking alcohol, and stop masturbating, you'll actually have more energy. You'll lose a lot more weight. That's automatic just in those habits alone. I talk about a lot of fitness and stuff like that on the podcast. A lot of that comes into play. So that's, you're on the right track. We'll talk about that more. We want to get into a few more things after this. I would like to start with a quick word of prayer before we dive into the rest of the episode, if you don't mind. I'll start this one, and you can do the closing one at the end. And then we'll just dump right into it. Good to go. All right.
Yeah.
Let us pray. Father God, Lord of mercy, we love you, Lord. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for bringing Nate into my life. Thank you for bringing him on this podcast. He's really on fire for you. We've all been through the coals. We've all been through the muck. But at the end of the day, at the bottom, we find you, Lord. And we realize that's all we need. So right now, Lord, I ask that you build us back up from the smallest granule up to the biggest rock in our body. Help us to be strong. Help us to be strong in our faith. Help us to be watchful. Help us to just look out for, you know, people out there trying to teach us the wrong things. And help us to just be like men that you want us to be. Just like it says in 1 Corinthians 16:13, just like Paul said, that's basically what we just went over. Lord, I ask that you be with us today. Give us the words to say. Give anybody tuning into this the eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to receive anything that grows them closer to you. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Let's go.
All right. First thing, I got a question for you. What are your thoughts on Sabaton?
All right. Listen, if you have not dived into what is Sabaton, and you're a dude and you're working out, you are missing out on perhaps the greatest, the best music that our generation has ever known, okay? And listen,
yes.
We've connected over Sabaton several times, dude, but you guys got to experience, right, what Sabaton is, dude. I'll be in there in the garage, dude. I'm on a quest, dude. I got dumbbells going. I got jump ropes flying. I got Sabaton playing. I'm on a quest, dude. And I'm like, I'm about to roll up to the gate, the black gates of Mordor. And for Frodo or something, right? I'm rolling, dog, because they made me so pumped up, man.
Man, I knew you'd get a kick out of that because you and I share a mutual love for those guys. If you haven't heard Sabaton, it's basically a heavy metal, like historical based rock band, right? My whole shtick is, you know, you homeschool your kids just like I do mine. I want to go through like each of their albums and teach a history lesson on each one of their songs when my kids get old enough to get into history portion. So that's going to be a lot of fun down the road.
How cool would that be? What a lesson, right?
You know, especially with the boys, they'll be like, you know, all like the problem will be just getting them to settle back down after they hear it. Cause they'll be so pumped up. Oh,
love
man.
It, dude. Love it.
That's awesome, man. So diving into it, we talked a little bit offline about a couple things. You said you had a good story about being a blessing, not a bummer. And I would love to hear all about it. Tell me about it. Give us some knowledge, brother. Hit me.
Yeah, dude. You know, this is part of why I included it in SRX 90, right? Discipline number 8, right? Encourage one person a day. Give it away. Do not hoard these gifts. And I do feel like God has put people like you, people like myself, other men on this earth to literally be the blessing, right? To be the representation of the gospel You know, the Bible says it like this, that people will see your good deeds, your works, your actions, and glorify God, right? You are the light of the world for a reason. And so I feel like when men start to get into their own way, they start becoming this bummer, right? This misrepresentation of the gospel. They're sour. They're frustrated, man. They're just, it's almost like a little bit repulsive. You kind of turn your nose up, dude. And so when I used to work at Taco Bell, the greatest fast food chain of all time, Taco Bell, right? I loved working there. That's right, dude. It's the best one ever. All right. So I'm in there and dude, I'm slinging meat and cheese. You know, I'm creating masterpiece chicken quesadillas, the stuff that you're like, these are the big ones. They ain't no little bit of chicken on there. These are the big fatty quesadillas, right?
Yes.
I really believe people would come to my store because the food was cooked so thick, you know, just thick, right? And it was the good taco. Big Daddy fatty burrito.
I don't want the one on South Main. No, I want the one on the want the one on North Main, because that's where Nate's at. He's got me hooked up. I know it.
That's it, dude. Matter of fact, I had so many times where my boss was like, only two scoops with the meat. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. Right? Okay, so I put four on there, right? I'm like, scoosh, scoosh, scoosh.
This is what they paid for. They're hungry.
So that's right. That's right. And people were coming to our store. We were making money, dude. I feel like it was rocking and rolling. And so I'd get off of work. I worked the line. And I'd go over to my girlfriend's house, dude, and I'd wrap her up in this big man hug. And she would always turn her nose up and she'd be like, you smell like a bean burrito. And I'm like, what a glorious thing to smell like, right?
So you're saying I'm delicious?
Who doesn't want to smell like a cheesy gourmet? Right, dude, right. Who doesn't want to smell good? You know, I thought I smelled fantastic, you know? She'd always try to squirm out of that hug, and I'd just hold her tightly and squeeze her some more, and she'd just push away as hard as she could. And you know, that's what some men's life has become. They're thinking they're living good, smelling good, looking good, and other people are like, dude, you're kind of leaving this aroma everywhere you go, and it's not the aroma of life. It's not shedding a light on the gospel. It's not even shedding a light on positivity. You're kind of just a bummer to be around, right? But then there's this other dude who walks into a room and his presence leaves people wanting more. His smile leaves people positively impacted and affected. It's almost like he brings with him this aroma of life, as the Bible would call it, this aroma that leads to life and this aroma that leads to death. And if we're supposed to be the fruit that leads people to God, ought not that fruit be beautiful, succulent, good, ripe fruit instead of rotten, smelly, sour fruit? We ought to be the blessing to life rather than the bummer. Quit walking around like your life is tough and complaining and getting frustrated, right? Be the blessing. Let the light come out. Let the goodness come out. Man, just encourage, right? Just smile. And even with your kids and your family, right? Like walking in the door at the end of a hard day of work and not putting a frown on your face and putting a smile on your face, being the blessing and not the bummer is probably the quickest way to lead people to the gospel.
One.
There's where that story comes from. The aroma of life. Don't walk around smelling like a bean burrito. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good deeds and glorify God.
You know, unless somebody is actually, that's what leads them to the Lord, that bean burrito, that might be what it is. But listen, you're all over it. That's... And I want to expand on your little fruit analogy you just made a minute ago. We want to be this ripe, this delicious, you know, you see it on a tree. It's this glistening, glowing apple. You want to put it in your mouth and let it just fill you full of the stuff. But we also want to make sure too, I'll take it one step further, is it's that we don't just look good on the outside. I think a lot of people, and you and I talked about this before we even started the episode today. A lot of people look really good on the outside, but it's what's on the inside. You could tell a person, you know, because a lot of times people on social media, they only post their wins. But you can tell a person by when they have lost something, when they've gone through a hardship, when they've gone through difficulties, when they've gone through challenges, how that affects their behavior, whether it's going to cause them to change or divert course, or are they going to stay the same because they have that discipline that you were just talking about earlier on in the episode. I think that's, you are like spot on. I wholeheartedly agree with everything you just said. We have to embody these things. That way people want, if you follow the word, that's awesome. If you don't give it to somebody in some way, shape, or form, how are they ever actually going to receive it? And you've got to give it to them in a way that is digestible, as it were, not just beating them over the head with the Bible. And that's spot on, man. I love it.
Dude, it's been the story of my life, right? And we are the living representations of the gospel. And, you know, you think about this fruit, and some people might be like, well, man, I've tried to love and I've tried to be good fruit. You know, what it really does that fruit have to do? Y'all about to get a sermon right now. What does that fruit really have to do in order to be good fruit? That fruit ain't got to do nothing, right? All that fruit's got to do is to hang on the tree, mm-hmm. to abide in the vine, right? To be connected to the source of life, and it will automatically produce good fruit. And so here's the deal. When we're in close proximity to Christ, we will produce good fruit. When we are not in close proximity to Christ, we are not connected to the vine, we're not connected to the source of life, you will by product produce terrible fruit. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. Like, we got Tate out here saying, this is the fruit a man should produce, right? And I'm like, dude, you got to connect to the vine, bro. You got to connect to the vine. You're offering people a version of fruit that looks good on the outside, but is not full of God's life, it's man. Poison. That is not a fruit that I want to partake of.
It's poison on the inside.
It's poison.
He's like right there. You know, I have conversations about that guy, and I pray for him. I'm like, listen, you are this close. And if you've ever heard Bishop Murray, he's the one who just got stabbed in Australia not long ago. He talks about Tate too. Said, man, my brother, you are right there. We're praying for you. Like, you're saying a lot of the things that resonate with young men today, but you're just missing that extra step. And then you're missing also the morality that comes from the word, because we as men have to not go. We're not out here treating women like objects. We're treating them like the loving, nurturing, life-giving creatures that they are, that were sent to this earth and given to us men to be our helpers, to be our blessing, to help, you know, proliferate the earth full of good, moral, godly people. But we can't do that if we're following examples of some of these guys. The older example was Dan Bilzeri, another guy, you know, playboy, you know, did all kinds of crazy stuff, you know, poker guy, whatever. But dudes were like flocking to be like this guy. And I'm like you just said, they look real good on the outside, but I would wonder how their soul feels at the end of every day. And I pray for those guys because, you know, I'm not rich. I don't have all these Ferraris and women and stuff like that. I don't want that. I'm rich, wealthy beyond measure because I have a wife and I have children who love me. And then when I walk in the door, they come and they hug me. And I know you feel the same way because I see it with you and how you are with your kids. It's a beautiful thing. People don't understand that. And they can't, and those guys can't figure out why we're so happy all the time, because we don't have as much as they do. You know what I mean? Have as much, by quotes, right?
What is wealth, right? What is wealth, man? And when you define the wealth that way, no one can take that away from you, right? No one can say you're not wealthy. No one can say you're not rich. When you view walking into your front door as riches, no one can take that away, dog.
That's it. That's it. And that's where I would just have to throw a just – have discernment, be cognizant, understand that there's a lot of, like, again, with all the algorithms and stuff, it's going to lead you to things that are pleasing to you. But sometimes, actually, most of the time, you got to sift through that stuff and get to the people who have, you know, 1 or 2 or 300 people who are actually spitting the truth, because that's the stuff that gets suppressed. Yeah, I know you and I see it all the time. You mentioned Jesus on Twitter, you're automatically at the bottom of the list as far as algorithms and searches and things like that. But we do it anyways, because that's what we're called to do.
Do it anyway, dude. I just had a conversation with somebody about this yesterday. We were talking about making the algorithm tick and making it go and stuff like that. Dude, ultimately, it just comes down to the mission, right? Mm-hmm. Whether the algorithm spins you or you get love on the internet, it doesn't matter. Yeah. What I've got to do is to be obedient to the mission.
Absolutely.
Right? And if God has called me to spread the gospel and to send the light into the world, all right, that, you know what that looks like? That looks like daily prayer. All right, I'm gonna record myself saying a prayer and throw it out there on the internet. I'm going to say the name Jesus in my timeline. I'm going to actually mention God in 90% of the posts I do because I feel like this is my mission, whether the algo spins me or not, right? And dude, yes, sometimes I get caught up in like, oh, this is business and I got to spin the wheel. Yes, I get caught up in that too, but then I come back to the fact of the matter is those people that might spin the algo aren't providing a way for me to go to heaven. No. They do not control my eternal destiny. My mission is far more important than the business and clientele that gets driven to my door. God always brings the people anyway. God always brings the clients anyhow. That's on him, right? If somebody needs to work with me to go through SRX or catch my book, they get it, right? And that's how the wheel spins. I don't worry about that stuff, dude. God's 100%. Got that. Man.
And if Lord use men like Nate, use men like myself to just bring one more person every single day or every time we post or every time somebody's going to see it and it's going to resonate with them. And that's good enough for me. And then we do that in our daily lives too, not just on social media. Like I know you're involved with your family and your community. I do the same thing with my church and here at the house. And we just, you know, just like we used to do in the Marine Corps, you establish your little foothold in one little sphere at a time. You just expand your influence as much as you can. But again, I'm not trying to, you know, I'm never going to have a nationwide show and I'm fine with that. I want to be able to connect with real people, have it talk about real issues on our level and handle it the best we can. And eventually it'll get out to the masses. Somebody will see it and that's the right person. But for now, we'll just keep on keeping on because that's what we're supposed to do. Stay with the mission. It doesn't matter, you know, likes or clicks or anything like that. It's about the mission. You're absolutely right. That being said, one of the last points we'll get at talking about this algorithm, talking about the phone, talking about men in their daily lives. I think it was you who shared the video. It might have been you. It was like at a baseball game. And these two parents were sitting there on their phones on the baseball game. And the little kid was looking up at a Jumbotron, caught the parents. And the kid was like, look, look, look. And neither one of the parents had any clue what was going on. And that was like one of the most painful things for me to watch as a father. I want to know your thoughts on the kind of the state of the union, as it were, when it comes to men, parents, social media, phones, all that jazz. Give it to me. Give it to me straight.
Yeah, dude, that video is, I think it was Save Your Sons that originally posted it, and then I hit from him. And did you see that video where the kid just gave up? He's like, all right, y'all, I understand what's happening here. You're on your phones, and I'm trying to get your attention. And then he's like, all right, whatever, right? Yeah. And I'm like, you know how quick that transition in his mind took? It 4 seconds, 3 seconds maybe for him to realize, I've been here before. I've asked for their attention, not gotten it. And I understand that if I persist in this asking, that I'm going to get a butt cutting, right? Something's going to happen. We're like, go play in your room. Go play with your sister. Leave me alone. Let me be. That is a learned behavior, brother. Okay. That did not take place at that baseball game for the first time. Like, that's something this kid knew. He's maybe 8 years old, and that lesson is ingrained in him. When mom and daddy on the phone, you don't come knocking, dog. You don't mess with this time. I'm relaxing, right? I'm de-stressing. Right. I'm doing my thing to be at peace. Give me some time in a minute. But what you've done now is you've curtailed this child's desire to ask you for time. And dude, I'll say it like this, man. If you give them screens, they'll ask for more. If you give them time, they'll ask for more. And they only will ask you for that time so many times and get her no response before they won't ask again. It took that kid 3 seconds to realize that he was barking up the wrong tree, right? Your kids might ask you 10,000 times from the time they're 4 to 18. You might get 10,000 times where they're going to say, Dad, can you play with me? And how many of those have we pushed them aside? How many of those times have we said, not right now, or Daddy needs his rest, or I'm too tired, or I had a long day, or I don't feel good, whatever. And you're at 7,000 asks, and you've only got 3,000 left, or 2,000 left, or 50 left. We owe it to our children to yes them as much as we can. And I'm not saying you live at the beck and call of your child, 100%. But I am suggesting that we put down the phone.
No, you're right. Absolutely right. Like there is a little bit of a fine line. You know, I work at home, for example, and my kids, it's a unique situation. You know, I'm blessed to be able to do it, but when I'm gone, I'm gone. I got to go take care of business. I got to go do installs. I have to go do site walks and deal with customers and things. But when I'm home, it's a blessing because I can go inside. Hey, how you doing? Tickle them, whatever they do home, they're helping with a homeschool lesson or something. But then sometimes like, hey, daddy, can you play with me? And I'm in the middle of a, you know, a project or something. I have to, I always feel bad saying no, but I know that I'm going to get to it when I get done. Right. But we as fathers, as men have to be, like you said, one of the last points in SRX 90 is be intentional with your family. At some point, especially parents who don't homeschool, you've got a kid in school from, you know, 7-8 o'clock in the morning till 3-4 in the afternoon. They got extracurriculars that they do. Maybe you finally get home and it's, you know, 6-7 o'clock at night. Maybe their bedtime's 9 o'clock. You've got a couple hours a day to parent and build a relationship with people. If you're on your phone two of those hours, you've only got an hour to actually parent. And not to mention just your relationship in general too, with your spouse or your whoever, right? We've got to be more intentional. And there's social media is a beautiful thing. It brought you and I together, right? But it also can, if that's your only friend, that's your only means of communication, you are losing the actual social aspect. It becomes an anti-social media device. And I think, like we said earlier, if we're going to bring it back to normality, we use the technology, get it out of the way, but at the end of the day, it's family time. During the day, it's family time. This should not take precedent over your family, and it definitely shouldn't get in the way of you and the Lord. So yeah, that video, it really, like, it struck a chord with me because I felt terrible for that little boy.
For sure, dude. And you know, I speak about this. I have some tenets that I believe, like these rites, these old pillars that I believe make up a man. Things like spirituality, physicality, fortitude, balance, honor. You know, friendship is included in that. Vision is included in that. Stewardship is included in that. And so when we talk about a man on his phone and his kids asking for attention, I just don't feel like you're being a good steward of the children that God's given you. And no. I don't feel like you're stewarding your time well. And dude, one of the areas that I see so common in men's coaching, right? You have a athletic dude who maybe played high school sports and even maybe played a little bit of college, was very active all the way into his 20s, got married late into his 20s, got a nice job, and now he has 3 kids and he's a slump dumpkin. Mm-hmm. Okay. He no longer exercises, he no longer works out. And what happens is he has developed a new cognitive relationship with that device, with social media clicks, with likes, with scrolling. There's really, if he's not even posting, like you and I post a lot, so it's different sometimes. There's a business that we run from our phones. But most of the time, dude, it's just scroll, 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 swipe, 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 swipe. And they've just created this dopamine hit from literally moving the thumb up, right? And they've created this connection, right? I call it the affair with the phone, right? You literally, listen, you, the first thing you want to do when you wake up, check the phone. The first thing you want to do to relax, check the phone. The first thing you do, last thing you do before you go to bed, hit the phone before you put it on charge. We even have this weird ghost buzz syndrome where you think the phone buzzed, but it didn't. So you check it out and pull it because your brain is so wired now to this connected device. And you are almost fiending for this device and fiending for your thumb to move and to see another video and to absorb another piece of information. If you had that type of connection and that type of touch point to your wife, your marriage would be through the roof, dog. Your marriage would be out of this world if you touched your wife every time you touched your phone. Well, we create these love affairs. And so you have this man that was completely athletic, now tied to a device sitting on the couch with the TV on, just scrolling on the phone with so much information bombarding their system. They're in a love affair, dude. They're in a love affair with a device. And they're like, that's stupid to say. All right, well, stop doing it then. Break it off then. If it's so easy and you're not in a love affair, do the radio silence.
Just try.
It's so easy.
Just stop. You've probably got more miles scrolling through your phone than you've got steps during your day. You know, it's, I'd be curious to see how many miles, you know, some people's thumbs have compared to their feet these days. And you said that to me the other day. It is an affair. It really is. You may not think about it because, I'm not like with another woman or anything like that. Yeah, but you're with something that is taking you away from your family, from your responsibility as a husband, as a father, as a contributing member of your community, as a follower of Jesus. Like you said, you and I, we post things because we're generally trying to edify people and stuff. But once I throw a post out, I might like a few things. I'm gone. I got something else I got to do. And, you know, if I got a little bit of downtime, sure. But so, you're right. There are people who just it's rewired our brains, man. And I think your program and what you do, your devotional book that you have, all these things coming together will help people be better versions of themselves. So I commend you and your work. I commend you and everything that you do with this. And I wish you nothing but success in all this, brother.
Well, dude, thank you, man. You know, I can only speak so freely from the phone standpoint because I feel like I have been tied to that device before.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
right?
Me too.
I've been tied me to too. This piece of equipment, right? We still fall victim to it now, right? Because we're attached to the likes now. We're attached to the posting. We're attached to the whatever comes with this, man. And other men who aren't doing this from a business standpoint, there's really no benefit to being on that device for as much as we are. And so, dude, with the radio silence, I suggest people start small. I suggest 15-minute windows, right? Let's start with a 15-minute window of detoxing from the dopamine from our phone. The phone goes into radio mode or airplane mode for 15 minutes and see what your cognitive responses is from your brain. You're going to find yourself, you're more alert to the house. You're more alert to your wife. Mm-hmm. You're more alert to your children. You're more alert to your other senses that have now, sight, smell, taste, touch. All these things are now heightened because the dopamine from the phone is gone. It's like we're no longer zeroed in on this 4-inch screen. We're opened up to the world around us. And so I suggest starting with 15 minutes. But dude, that was me. And to do 15 minutes of no phone when I'm relaxing was difficult, right?
It can drive people crazy. It would
be hard to set the phone down for 15 minutes. Yeah, especially if it goes to buzzing, right? Mm. Or like I got an email or a ding or whatever. I got to get to it. It will be okay.
It will be
right?
Just
have a few
fine.
Contacts on emergency contact that if they call you, it could get through the airplane mode. But other than that, dude, it'll be fine.
It'll be just fine. I think a lot of people just have to identify that they have just like with any other problem, right? Identify that there is an issue. And then how do you work through it and mitigate it? Do you do things, strategies like you guys have? Do you do, you know, subtraction through addition? So instead of me being on my phone for this 15-minute block, maybe I could just pick up a book for 15 minutes. Let me just read or let me take a walk or something, but do it without your phone nearby. I'm bad about that when I'm reading, especially like I just got done reading the first three Dune books. I read one of the Tolkien books not long ago. I'm like searching some of the terms while I'm reading instead of reading because I want to get more into the lore. But I'm like, I need to just read it and then do it after I'm done with this little period of time. So that's something that's I struggle with it too. But if we can at least identify that we have this issue, then we can take steps to actively get rid of it. So that's again. Bringing that to the forefront. That's why I'm glad you came on to talk about it. Keep doing what you're doing with Twitter and Instagram, with your book, with your program. Tell me one more time. We're going to wrap up here. Tell me one more time about the book, about your program, and then we'll let you end it with a quick word of prayer. We'll kick it for the weekend, man.
Yeah. So again, with SRX, we start June 1st with the next round. I'll get about 20, 25 applicants and we'll take 12 per 90 days. And what I look for in those 12 are guys that are willing to commit to the 90, guys that are willing to reciprocate conversation. There's a type of guy, and you might know this type of guy. It's like a course. They're like course connoisseurs. All they do is look for new courses, look for new methods, look for new books, look for new podcasts, but they're never really skin in the game type of guys. That's not the type of guy we want. If you're just looking for a course where you're like, hey, I just want to read the material, and never really contribute, never really jump in, never really apply myself. This is not that type of course. What I ask is complete involvement. I check in with these guys every single day. Each week we cover a discipline and I ask them to do a challenge that accompanies the discipline. Might be a plank challenge or, you know, 2 minutes in the ice or whatever the case may be, or to actually put your phone down and journal how you feel. And there's these different disciplines. So this is not a course where you just audit in and look at it and see how it goes. This is a challenge where I want to gain access to the heart of a man and reestablish a core set of habits that are going to lead him to be the man on fire, because that is the mission. As far as the devotion goes, man, you guys can find that on Amazon. That book right there is part of my story. It's part of Matt's story. It's part of Travis's story. And that book was designed for guys who don't have a lot of time on their hands. They don't know where to start reading in the Bible. Every single one of those devos points back to the Bible. And we feel like if we can get a tiny bit of scripture for 5 minutes in a guy's hand, it literally takes 2 minutes to read one of these devotions, that it's going to be better than a guy not opening any book at all. So if finances are an issue, send me an email, send me a DM. I will send you a book. I'd rather have you have access to the gospel than nothing at all. So if that's an issue, contact me as well, and I'm happy to get you plugged in.
Man, that's awesome. Guys, Nate Norman, he's a fantastic human being. I'm glad to call him a brother on this journey we call life and this journey with Christ. Nate, if you would be so kind as to take us out with a quick word of prayer, and then we'll kick everybody out for a fantastic weekend, and we'll carry on, sir.
All right, let's do it. All right, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to share the gospel, to share the light. Lord, as we prayed at the beginning, we echo at the end. Let this be a means of catalyst, Lord, a means of growth for some individual to hear the good news, to find out that there's hope. Lord, when we do things like this, Lord, we're not broadcasting from a point of perfection. We don't have it all figured out, Lord. We're day by day learning what it means to be a man of honor, a man of integrity, and a man of character. And I just pray that somebody would see our story and find hope for their situation. Lord, there is hope to restore marriages. There is hope to have a happy family. Lord, there is hope for prodigals who have ran away. There is hope for restoration and things that we thought were dead. Lord, you're in the business of restoration. And Lord, if it weren't for your touch in my life, in Chase's life, God, we would still be in the ditch. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. And I pray that some person today hears this and finds a glimmer of hope, Lord. And if there's any way that we can be a mode of transportation towards the good news, help us to live that out. We thank you for this time. Bless our families. Bless the people that are listening to this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Nate, it's been a pleasure, sir. I appreciate you, brother, coming on and just filling us full of that positivity, man. I know not the world's not all sunshine and rainbows, but if we could bring a little bit of hope to the craziness that's out there, you know, what better person than yourself to be on here? I from the bottom of my heart, I very much appreciate you.
Dude, always good to chat it up with you, man. And I just love it, man. These type of things are fun for me. So when it's a friend, it's better, right? You know the bro, we're connected, we're in the same mission, we're on the same path. We could just chat it up, dude. We could just chop up the information and throw it out there to the world.
That's it, man. And that's what it's all about. Sometimes you just have to have these conversations, get them out there to the world, and then people will hear it, and they'll jump in when they need to. So, again, thank you for coming on, guys. Thank you. This is the Three Pillars Podcast. I'm Chase Tobin, a.k.a. Tobinator the Motivator. Until next week, Tobinator out.